Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
On the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline is where we go right now. We talk to our good friend Andrew Siciliano from the NFL Network and DirecTV's Red Zone Channel. Hi, Andrew. How are you?
Guys, I firmly believe Shane Bieber would have thrown a no-hitter today.
You know what? I wish I would have had your foresight because I would have put some money down on that. I would have trusted you and believed you.
He would have. Yeah, totally. Like, Andrew, way it wouldn't have happened.
For Bob Feller's sake, I'm glad he didn't.
For Bob, that's good. Yeah,
it's funny because last segment, Jeff was arguing that no one should have ever beaten Babe Ruth's record either. Right, Jeff?
Move along, Andy.
Yeah, that's what I thought you'd say. Andrew, first of all, before we get into football, how are you? How are things getting handled at NFL Network? And give us the lowdown on your luck. That's the more important part.
I'm here. I'm healthy, I think, and you know, and inside the house, I'm doing my best not to go out. I am fortunate to live near the ocean, so I could go out and kind of run on the beach. Although this past weekend there were too many people out, honestly. It just to be clear, it wasn't like crazy, stupid Florida spring breakers. It was just, I think, everyone had been working at home off their laptops all day and then all week. And then come Saturday, it was a picture-perfect day, and everyone else decided, hey, let's go take a walk on the beach. And there were far too many people out, but people are taking it seriously. Everyone's staying in their house. And, you know, unfortunately, it's the world we live in now. And hopefully, if everyone plays along, that we could get through this sooner rather than later. But I think we're all realistic, and it might be later rather than sooner. And that's life right now. I am fortunate that NFL Network, right after we spoke last Thursday, came on Friday morning and put a camera in my house. So like what Ian Rappaport and Mike Garofalo and those guys have, I now have one at my house. So we have been doing our best to cobble together shows and updates. I just literally came upstairs to the kitchen. I just taped three news updates that are about to run on the network. And we've been putting together anything as short as 5 minutes to half-hour shows that have been running on the network. Our studios have shut down, so our entire campus in L.A., save for IT and security, is pretty much locked up. So we have a whole bunch of home cams. Kurt Warner has one. Steve Smith has one. You know, Joe Thomas, I don't think he's got the full home cam set up, but he's got the podcast cams there at his house. We can all get on the air, but we don't have a control room. So we're kind of cobbling these together as best we can and hopefully be back to a fully operational Death Star sometime soon.
Andrew, I've watched your coverage, and kudos to all of you guys for pulling it off, and because it's been very informative, and it's looked more than good enough. So well done.
Thank you. We're trying. I mean, these are different times for everyone, and I know it's different times for you guys as well. We realize. Listen, we're not a news organization here. Well, we are, but we're talking about football. Let's put it that way. We're not talking about public safety, but at the same time, it does hopefully give people a break from hearing about all the bad in the world. At the same time, keeping everyone safe as long as we can.
Andrew Siciliano is joining us. So the Browns are sitting here, and let's talk a little realistic football on this. They've been terrific during free agency. They've made a lot of signings. There's still some guys out there. But, Andrew, overall, I think that you've got to be – I would think if you're a Browns fan, you have to be kind of impressed with what Andrew Berry has done, because it's been sensible, it's been smart, and he's plugged a lot of gaps.
Yeah, I endorse that message entirely. They are not going out and making outlandish moves. Listen, not that the outlandish moves aren't fun and can't be productive. Jarvis Landry was one, I think, a couple of years ago where we all went, wow, that turned into a good move. Say what you want about the Odell Beckham move. I think I'd probably do it again, but, you know, not include a starting offensive lineman if you could have avoided that one. But these are common sense moves. I think Austin Hooper was a bit of a wow. I like the Jack Conklin move. Andrew Billings maybe is the underrated move here in all of this. They are making moves that I think will be productive. I think it is now fair to ask, when will we see that productivity on the field? And that's the big question for everyone in sports. When can we attempt to get back to a sports life? And I don't know the answer. Dick Cass, who's the team president of the Ravens, just said in an interview, that just posted here from Baltimore, that he, quote, "I just don't think the OTAs are going to happen at all. I hope I'm wrong." So we're all just kind of in a holding pattern. And the draft, I'm pretty confident, is going to go ahead in some form on April 23rd. But beyond that, who knows? I mean, who knows what tomorrow brings? That sounds so negative, but I'd rather say that's just being pragmatic. Everyone in this world can plan as much as they can and then just kind of keep their fingers crossed that planning can actually be put into place.
Help me with this one, Andrew, as you talk about the draft. Look, I think most of us out here, and you brought it up, that, you know, the NFL is a nice way to just kind of ease back into regular kind of life. So I'm just curious why the general managers, you believe, wouldn't want to hold the draft on the scheduled date, because I think all of us are sitting out here going, look, what's the difference between a draft and a fantasy draft, you know? And why would you need – like, I understand why the owners want it, clearly understand why the fans would want it on a given date. And you know, I don't know. I don't have a whole lot of sympathy for general managers saying, we need more time, we need more time. You tell me, why would they need more time?
I do, but I understand your argument as well. Here's what we talked about on our abbreviated edition of NFL Total Access yesterday. It's not a fantasy draft, and I'm not trying to throw that back in your face here, but this is a point that I've always tried to make to fans, and sometimes you get through and sometimes you don't. These are HR decisions that teams are making. They're not fantasy football decisions. And you need to, I mean, you're hiring somebody and bringing them into your building and committing, you know, eight figures worth of salary to this person. These are HR decisions. And yes, you look at tape, okay? You were at the combine. Hopefully the player that you want to draft worked out of the combine or you got to meet him in the speed dating 15-minute interviews that they do at the combine, and you have a good feel. But for so many players on your draft board, you haven't met these people. You haven't talked to these people. And there's going to be a lot of virtual conferencing, FaceTime and Zoom and whatever. You're going to have to do your legwork that way. But you're simply not prepared. Now, let's go to draft day. And Ian said this on the air yesterday. He had talked to a couple of GMs that said, okay, so we're not in our building, so do you want everyone to, like, go over to the GM's house? Which I don't know that anyone wants others in their family home yet, but let's say that in 3 weeks we're more comfortable doing that. But let's say we're not. So we're video conferencing, the coach, the GM, the owner, the offensive coordinator, the defensive coordinator, your head of scouting, your regional scouts, all these people were in one giant video conferencing room. Well, let's say one of the conference lines goes down, right? Let's say someone's Wi-Fi is garbage. Well, we're calling in to pick to New York, which is what is always done, by the way. Like the guy handing the card on stage, that's all for show. Let's say you can't get a cell. It's not like you can text your buddy who's on his third beer, who's the commissioner, and say, hey, stop the draft clock. Reset it. I didn't mean to take Andy Dalton there. It's there's just a lot to configure, and there are a lot of GMs that would like to see it pushed back. But I don't think it's going to happen. I'm fairly confident it's going to happen on the 23rd.
Andrew, I think you've made an excellent argument, and you've given me reason to think twice. But I'm not thinking twice. I think that they should have the draft, and we're talking about a league that has been at the forefront of technology as far as being able to bring plays in on the field, and we look at all these guys that are holding their iPads or their tablets on the field. I think that the draft should go on, and I can understand why owners want to do it. I know why fans want it.
Yeah, listen, I think it will go on. I'd be surprised at this point if it does not go on. But I do truly feel for, and listen, I know it's just football here compared to people on the front lines trying to save people's lives without protective gear in hospitals, which is just heart-wrenching, right? It's heartbreaking. But I do feel for Andrew Berry or for Les Snead or for Duke Tobin in Cincinnati or for you name your GM here, because they're trying to plot the future of their franchise, and they have limited information here about the players that they are drafting.
Kind of like the old days.
Yeah.
Kind of like the old days, where, I mean, you hear stories about players in the 50s that found out 3 months later that they were drafted in the 13th round. But nobody knew, but no one could find them, and eventually the mail got forwarded from their athletic department at their former school.
That's a great story.
You know, yep. Stuff like that.
Yeah.
So with you working from home, with everybody working from home, and with this thing, free agency, where it is and all, I just don't know that anybody can have any expectations about anything, Andrew. And I think the NFL's, for the most part, done a really nice job of just kind of going with the flow and seeing where this thing takes us. I don't know that they have any other choice, but I've been impressed with what they've done.
Yeah, I agree. And listen, I think a lot of people were skeptical, understandably skeptical, when the league pushed forward with free agency last week. I had trouble at times, and I think a lot of us did, finding the right tone. You know, how do you go on the air and go, wow, Teddy Bridgewater, $63 million, when you realize the reality of the world for everyone else.
But at the same time, got laid off. Yeah, it's not.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you know, at the same time, I got texts from fans and tweets from fans and coaches and GMs and agents. No exaggeration at any of those, saying, hey, glad you're on the air. I couldn't watch the news anymore. I mean, that's a little solace, but realize we're human beings up there too, delivering the news and you know, understanding our place in the world and trying to keep the right tone the whole time.
Andrew, let me throw this one at you, because this was an idea that got floated out yesterday. 7 rounds over 7 nights televised. I said to Jeff, it would be that if we stay in the current state that we're in right now, as far as being in our houses and just kind of being separated, I guarantee you it'll be the highest rated thing for 7 nights, even that 7th round. And if it's on NFL Network, it will be the highest rated thing, perhaps even in the network's history. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I'm all for that. And I know that was Schefter's idea. I tip my cap to Schefter on that. I also think that Ross Tucker deserves the real credit for this idea. You guys know Ross Tucker, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Ross was on with Dan Patrick on Monday or Tuesday of free agency last week, and I was driving to work here in L.A., and Ross was the first one I heard with this idea. His idea was – make the entire first round a month. It was a little extreme, but he said, let's do it over 32 days. You need content? Monday, the Bengals are picking first overall. They get the whole day. All we talk about is whether or not the Bengals were right to take Joe Burrow, or should they have traded out. Tuesday, here come the Redskins. They get an entire day. They get as many hours on the clock as they want. People want to call Ron Rivera and make a trade? Do it. Here comes Matt Patricia on Wednesday. You get my point.
Wow.
It was a little extreme, but it was the first time I had heard this idea of stretching it out, and I am all for some form of one of those two ideas.
So the Browns, in tradition of the Browns, that means that we wouldn't pick until December because they'll trade out at 10 just to make us wait 4 or 5 more months for the pick.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we got time. No one's going anywhere.
Yeah.
Andrew, let me throw one more at you before we we probably got to take it. Dan, do we got to take a break right now or what?
Just ask the question.
We got time. I'm pacing around my kitchen.
I know. Well, that's okay. I'm in my basement. Jeff's in his wife's sewing room, just so you know where we are. He's two counties
over. I can tell the delay. We're three different places, radio around the
world. What were your thoughts on Tom Brady and the situation right now? Because a couple guys have come back out and said, oh, well, in particular, Joe Montana, like, what was New England thinking? What are your thoughts on that?
I do think it's fair to ask what was New England thinking. I also think it's just fair to ask, could the two sides have not sat down and tried to figure this out? And that'll be the question moving forward, probably for perpetuity. But I firmly believe two things. One, Tom Brady wants to see if the grass is greener. He would love to be out of the daily grind that is that building. But I also, this is just conjecture here. My gut tells me Belichick just didn't think he was worth $30 million anymore, or $35 million, or whatever it was, and that he thought Brady had slipped. You know, he wasn't going to cut him a la Kosar and throw in Todd Pilcox, but he thought that, you know, you had seen the best, and he was now in a downward trajectory. And he just didn't want to pay him. I would have loved to have seen them sit down and work out their differences, but it never truly got to that point, evidently. And I think Brady was just waiting for Bill to call up and go, all right, let's make this work. And he never did. And he never did. And I don't think in a million years any of us would have ever said, I think we all could have agreed, yeah, I could see him playing somewhere else next year, but not with a pirate on the side of his helmet.
It's going to be crazy. Andrew, thank you. As always, we appreciate the time. You are a super friend of the show. Stay safe, my friend.
Hey, guys, thanks, likewise. Buddy. Stay safe. Stay healthy. Northeast Ohio, please stay indoors. Take this stuff seriously. And Shane Bieber would have thrown a no-hitter today again.
Thank you, Andrew Adamus, something like that. Mr. Adamus, something like that.
Whatever.
Thank you, Andrew.
Something like that.
We'll talk to you soon.
Goodbye, guys.
All right. Make sure you're watching him on NFL Network. And, of course, he was on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.